Tuesday, December 28th, 2010, episode number 14 of the Buckcast with your host Dakota Schmidt and Abraham Genesis Gabriel. This episode number 14 of the Buckcast. This is after, of course, on Christmas and right before New Year's, even New Year's Day. So everybody have a happy holidays, and guys, see you next year.
I was feeling pretty good for la 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 la, taking my time on the la 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 la. Snow falling down in the la 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 la. Everybody singing like la 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 la. Decking all the halls with the la 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 la. Making my way to the la 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 la.
Hello everybody, welcome to episode number 14 of the Buckcast. Hello, I'm Nicole Schmidt, and of course with me on tonight's show is Abraham Jarzynski. Abe, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing okay.
I guess I'm doing fine myself. The Bucks just lost the game against the Chicago Bulls, but we're going to talk about that game later on in the show during game recap. This is going to be a short... This is gonna be a short show, everybody. Of course, we're gonna do the game recaps, but you know, no interviews on tonight's show. So this is gonna be a quick one. Just go through all the games that have gone on since the last episode of the Buckcast. So we're gonna go to the break, and we're gonna do some game recaps when we come back.
Yeah, get back, running down, let's go. Hey. Yeah. Stop trying to kick what we kicking. When I kick it, I'm Pele. We don't trip off what you spitting. We got spit in the baby. Baby, say what, but I say yo, baby, okay, K. Linguistics realer than physics in the cities we play. Ay, I don't live on E14 High Street, 44th and MLK. Fruit band, I'm in the West. It's a mess, but damn, I love where I stay. And it ain't nothing to the mayor. Push a button, move a fader. I'm busting, questing, loving. Is your player okay? Playboys in the bus, I'm out, fucking mouth muscles. I'm buttoned, about whipping, about stunting, about yoking, about what you about, cousin. I'm on one, sipping, no. Take a little tremolo. Ride a flow, fire slow. Burn it down, a pyro. Mania mainly the ringleader gone mainly the sideshow may be over but the circus still remains in we just the elephant Oakland relevant call me Coliseum starving artist going hard till the Bart stops say mausoleum.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Buckcast. Of course, we're gonna talk about some of the latest games that happened since the last edition of the Buckcast. We're gonna start off with Monday, December the 13th, where we actually beat the Dallas Mavericks on the road. We broke their, I think it was at that time, the 13-game winning streak. We beat them by a final score of 103 is not even a word. By a score of 103-99. Let's take a look at some of the stats from that game. Bogut, 21 points and 14 rebounds. Brand Jennings had 23 points and 10 assists. CDR had 14 points off the bench. Elisova had 12 points off the bench. And Keon Dooley did have 16 points off the bench. So, Abe, what do you think about this win against Dallas?
Basically just a reversal of last year's game against the Mavericks. Only difference was Matt Dirk missed his shot to take the lead, and he made it last year. So always good to get a win, especially in Texas, where all those teams are always pretty good, and they're always tough outs on the road. And after we lost those games on the road against, like, Detroit and Philadelphia and Minnesota. God, that's painful. You got to get kind of one of the ones in the bank. You got to get that back, and so we happen to do that this year. So.
Yeah. You know what? This game was so long ago. It was almost, it was, you know, 25 days ago, and, you know, a lot of things have changed since that game, but that game was just brilliant. You know, that game was just brilliant. We finally seen kind of what the Bucks looked like last year, plus, you know, some offense added in. And that was a, you know, glimmer of hope, which we have kind of lost since that game. We're going to talk about that, the loss of the loss of hope, I guess, later on in the game recaps. But that game, that Mavericks game was just great. Of course, like Abe said, it was kind of like a reversal of last year's game, of course, early in the season, where Dirk, you know, made that game winning a buzzer beater against us, of course, in last year. And the next game was on Wednesday, December 15th, where we lost at the Spurs by a final score of 90-90. Of course, that game ended in the game winning buzzer beater by Manu Ginobili. Of course, at the travel call, people are saying, was that a travel? Was it not? Of course, that was called not a travel. I kind of disagree with that. Abe kind of agrees with the actual, you know, call on the court. But, you know, Abe, other than that, you know, questionable call. What do you think about this game against the Spurs?
Well, I think probably more of a concern for the Bucks than the call, no call that ended the game. It, their last offensive sets, and when they really, really need a bucket, who are they going to give the ball to? And earlier in the season, they were going to give it to McGetty. Like, I remember that ESPN game when they were playing the Celtics. You know, McGetty got the ball when they needed a bucket, and he would drive and would get fouled and make it or turn it over or whatever. But the fact of the matter was, McGetty was that crunch time go-to guy. See now, with McGetty having his issues, whether it's, you know, related to a concussion, or maybe he's not fully healed from his bone spurs, or maybe he's just getting fat and not caring a bit, whatever boat you happen to be in terms of Corey McGetty, he's not playing well, so he's not getting those balls anymore. And you just watch in these late second sets when everybody in the NBA, you know, is going to do their very hardest on defense, which I think the NBA is pretty notorious for not trying the entire time. But those last second shots are so difficult to see, and you see that in the playoffs especially. And you just watch the Bucks try to run their sets, and it's going to be a little criticism of Skiles because he's never had a team in the top 20 in offensive efficiency. So maybe Skiles isn't the right offensive coach for this type of personnel. Our personnel is not great, especially when you've got guys like McGetty who are hurt. Salmons is hurt. Bogut is, you know, he's a good offensive weapon when he's healthy, but obviously he's having trouble because of the elbow. And it's very difficult to have a post-go-to guy in the NBA just the way it is, especially late, because they just don't call any fouls. But Bogut's got to get through. Jennings, you know, for all of his great things, Jennings, and he's usually the one who ends up taking the shots, and he's the one who took these shots last year. But Jennings, you know, shoots, what, 40% this season, and you see him, that's what it happens this year. And you see him taking long two-pointers or off-balance three-pointers. He just can't make, and that's not a position that you are going to win most of the time. And so, again, you see in that Spurs game where Abamute is taking the 20-foot shot, and you could just see Ginobili's face light up. He's just like, all right, we got this win. He's got no prayer in making that shot. And, you know, he had hit the side of the backboard earlier in the game and just completely bricked a couple other ones. And it's just like, Richard Abamute is a great defensive player, but his offensive game, besides those put-ins on offensive rebounds, is pretty egregious. So, you know, if that's the guy that you're going to put the fate of the game in your hands, you're not going to win most games.
Most definitely. And that was a tough loss. Another tough loss was on Saturday, December the 18th, where we lost to Utah at home by the final score of 95 to 86. Let's look at some stats from that loss against the Jazz. CDR, who started that game, of course, is Salmons. Oh, wait, Salmons was not injured in that game. Sorry, excuse me. CDR, 13 points. Salmons, he was not hurt. He had 18 points. You know, Bogut had 19 points. Some guys off the bench had decent that game was doing, 14 points, 5 assists, and Drew Gooding 12 points and 7 rebounds. And this is one of the games where you try to forget, so Abe try to help me remember what exactly happened in this game.
Our rebounding just failed us.
Listen, there's a big differential between offense rebounds, second chance points. It was 28 second chance points for Utah or something.
It was I don't know. I mean, obviously it was 2 weeks ago now. So yeah. maybe I'll look it up real quick. But it was something you're not going to overcome in the NBA, certainly on a long term basis, and most likely not on a short term basis either. So, that was basically the story of the game. They played fairly well. Jennings was noticeably pretty bad. And, as we found out a couple days later, he wasn't close to himself and happened to get injured in the game before. So, that obviously wasn't going for us. And just my inclination is we just don't play Utah well. I don't know whether it's because Jerry Sloan's kind of got the Bucks number. It's just one of those statistical anomalies or what it is. But Deron Williams is a horrible matchup for Jennings. He's just so big. Jennings obviously being so quick, and Jennings is a pretty good defensive point guard. But it's very difficult for Jennings. Bucks and Bucks fans to expect Jennings to be able to shut down Deron Williams, who's certainly a top 2 point guard in the NBA, which is how big he is and how skilled he is. And they just have a very, very deep, very good team. CJ Miles couldn't miss, which kind of made me angry. I guess the day before they had played New Orleans and they just turned in a horrendous game. And so, guys like Jerry Sloan and Skiles, they really get on their team after games like that. So you expected them to kind of come out and play a very high-octane game. And it just, whatever reason, just didn't seem to go the Bucks' way. And they were in it. They were in it. But mm-hmm. I think for the most part, for the good bit of the game, it just seemed like they couldn't get it over there. They just couldn't get over the hump. And I think they had a lead about halfway through the fourth quarter. And after that, it was just, they couldn't miss and we couldn't make and just didn't seem to be meant to be. And, of course, Francisco Elson made, 4 or 5 different shots, and it's just like insult to injury at that point. So the guy, had visa issues earlier in the week, and this guy's, I think he had 8 points and just making all these mid-range jumpers. And I think he made eight total jumpers his time in Milwaukee. So
yeah, didn't he make a ridiculous hook shot?
Oh, yeah. I think I was watching the Jazz broadcast, and they're like, Francisco Cinder out there, and it's just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
I think that's a shot that Skiles, when he's in the team meetings, is like, okay, yeah, you let him shoot. That's a defensive plus if he shoots, and especially if Skyark, it's just, whatever, And these guys are professionals, but at some point, it becomes ridiculous.
Yeah, and we're not gonna talk really about the next game that much. We basically just got our butts handed to us in this game. We lost to the Portland Trail Blazers by the final score of 106 to 80. And basically this was the first game without Brandon Jennings, and of course I think the day later. We would find out that he would be gone for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And, let's actually talk about the injury right now that we're on the topic of it. Since that injury, there's been one player that's really shined. It's not Keon Doolin. Keon Doolin has been fine. He's been actually doing. He's been actually competent on, like, what he was early on in the season. But the one guy that's basically, you know, shown. Well, what nobody expected was Earl Boykins. He's been unbelievable. You know, people were expecting, hey, he's a decent number three, but he's actually looking like he can be number one. Of course, you know, he did great. He did absolutely amazing, you know, against the Lakers. And we're going to talk about that game in a second. You know, he did good against the Kings, and he actually did good against the Hawks. Of course, he was suspended for tonight's game against the Bulls. But Earl Boykins, wow. Abe.
Well, like you said, Earl Boykins pretty much won the next two games for us, and I think Bucks fans after our Texas trip were kind of optimistic going on to the West Coast swing, which is obviously a tough thing for any team to move to different time zones like that because of the difference in game times. But, you know, I think most people said, all right, we should beat Sacramento, we should lose to L.A., and maybe Portland will be the toss-up game. And then when you go into Portland and get blown out by them, you know, I think everyone's expecting, oh, man, okay, just please give us the Sacramento game. Please, please, that's all you know you want. And then we went into Los Angeles. And
yeah, we're going to talk about that game. Should we actually talk about the game right now?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, we're not really going to talk about that Portland game that much because there's really not much to talk about. Or in fact, the John Salmons did have a nice game. But let's actually talk about this excellent, excellent Lakers game. And actually, before we start talking about this Lakers game, of course, I'm on Twitter. My Twitter is @Dakota_Schmidt. And I follow some Lakers fans on there. And they're like, this is the game that, you know, we have this game every single year. You try to lose. You know, let's lose this game and just go into face, you know, Miami and just, you know, whoop them. They didn't. You know, they just had a bad game. They worked their, you know, butts off, but they just couldn't stand a chance against us because we just the Bucks just looked great. You know, Salmons looked nice. You know, Bogut looked like Bogut. Elisova, double-double, 17 points, 11 rebounds. Of course, Earl Boykins. You know, in 25 minutes, 22 points? Are you serious? Five Earl Boykins? It's unbelievable. It seriously is unbelievable how he just basically took the game into his 5-5 hands. It just basically sealed the deal. That's what he did. He just basically sealed the deal, and everybody was like, what's going on? All the Lakers fans were like, what? Earl Boykins? He's like a midget. What is he doing? Why is Kobe getting ejected from the game? Why can't Derek Fisher guard him? Why can't Steve Blake guard him? You know, Steve Blake's a piece of crap. Why can't he guard him? I don't know. Why am I trying to sound like Jerry Seinfeld? I don't know. But, Earl Boykins was just the man in this game, right, Abe?
Yeah, can't argue with his results.
Yeah.
Most people were kind of nonchalant when we signed Boykins this offseason, kind of like, okay, I hope he's inactive for more games than he's active.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, people get injured, and Jennings is going to be out, you know, like we talked about earlier, he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and, you know, Earl Boykins, hey, you got to step up, and some people would call it luck, some people would call it stepping up and when you need to be stepped up, and he's a veteran, that's what he's supposed to do, but, you know, overall, you look at it, and, hey, he stepped up, and he had a heck of a game, and I think most Buck fans were certainly on the edge of their seats, even if we have, you know, even when we had a late lead of double digits, because, you know, most NBA fans will tell you that a double-digit lead in the NBA is not much at all, you know, especially when you have a talent discrepancy like you do with the Lakers and the Bucks. So, you know, everyone's kind of expecting Kobe Bryant to, whether on his own or with the help from the men in white and black, that eventually they'd get back in the game. But Earl Boykins just wouldn't let him. I mean, Earl Boykins was making incredible shots, you know. Some of them were just pretty easy, those, like, mid-rangers that he likes to shoot, and then you just, like, okay, that's enough of that, and just pop a three and drain it, and, you know, after a while, you know, we just got ripped really big, and then Kobe Bryant got frustrated, and I think everybody who was watching the broadcast could read his lips and tell what he was trying to say to the refs, and I think that just kind of summed up the game for the Lakers right there, and so, you know, hey, there you go. Earl Boykins beat the LA Lakers, you know. How many Bucks fans could have predicted that? And if you could, then we need to go with you to the Vegas next time we go. So.
Yeah, but I think I'm not going to try to be controversial here, but I think Laker fans are, you know, the whiniest fans ever. Seriously. They're like, they think that they're, you know, that they don't get all the calls, even though that they do. It's just the fact that the Lakers, the NBA, I think, and David Stern want the Lakers to be in the championship. And if David Stern, wants it, the Lakers will be in the championship, you know, in June. If David Stern wants it, it's going to be, you know, Lakers, Heat. And, of course, there's probably a team that will prevent that, maybe like the Spurs or, you know, the Mavs or something like that. But the Lakers, if David Stern wants it, the Lakers will be in a national championship game. And Lakers fans did not understand that, but, you know, whatever. You know, whatever. You know, I guess this was a lucky win, memorable win. Of course, this is a memorable win. If you want to call it lucky, then fine. I think there was a little luck. Not, you know, yeah, every day. There's a lot of luck. But this was a great win, you know, against the LA Lakers. But this is, I really don't know what to say about this game. Lorraine, you know, wow, you know, wow.
Yeah, it was certainly one of the more surprising, and certainly I wouldn't say I was excited the whole time because, like I said, I was pretty tense. But it was a really satisfying win. You know, you just felt good. They just kind of went into LA and they out hustled them, and you know, there's something to be said for that. That I think. You could even see in the final minute when Ilyasova's chasing down that loose ball and just trying to rip it away at the end. I can't remember who it was from, and he gets a foul, and he's trying to...
Wait, I think it might have been Artest?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
Let's actually talk about the refs again and the Lakers. I think there's a time in this game where, you know, Ron Artest should have got, like, two fouls. Cause I think he pushed like both Ilyasova and CDR to the ground. Remember that?
Sorry, excuse me. I remember when CDR falling down, something like that. I don't remember Ilyasova, but
you know, whatever.
I believe you.
Yeah, you believe me when I what I say about the Lakers and David Stern.
Oh well, I think that goes without saying. Absolutely.
Right. I'm actually having some technical completion now, but the Lakers. I mean, not Lakers. Why would I ever want to talk about the Lakers again when we're not playing the Lakers? But the next game on the Bucks agenda is the game on Thursday, December 23rd. The last game before the Christmas holidays. I guess everybody you know, merry late Christmas forever. But we beat the you know, Kings by a final score of 84-79, and Earl Boykins did, you know, have another great game. This one he had 19 points. I know there's some games where Bogut really doesn't post the best stats. But in the end, he's the one that takes over the game. And in this game, he took it over. That clutch block against DeMarcus Cousins basically just ended it right there. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, probably going to be a great player someday. But not now. You know, and this was an ugly game, you know, overall. But The end was just brilliant. Right?
Yeah, well, I mean, watching this game, it was pretty stressful because after that huge Laker win, you want to go out and beat the Kings and solidify that over 500, that winning road trip, and it's just like, oh, God, the game was so miserable to watch. It just seemed like no one really wanted to win, and then, like you said, that I think that just typifies where Bogut is and where DeMarcus Cousins are right now in their respective NBA careers. It's just, at that point, I mean, I think DeMarcus Cousins is probably much stronger than Bogut is, and it's just that will, that desire to become better, to win, and, you know, I think that a lot of that is kind of glorified now, and it doesn't, you know, everyone kind of sells it short, but there's something to be said for that. You know, it's not everything, and, you know, guys with grit and hustle kind of, you know, yeah, it's not going to win you stuff, but, you know, in terms of getting better and all these kinds of things, they do matter, and in small doses like that, just wanting to outwill somebody does mean a lot. You know, it's not just Hollywood, it's a real thing, and I think that just typified it right there. I mean, Cousins was the guy who, you know, did the whole choke symbol to Reggie Williams and the Warriors, and it's just like, you know, you got to grow up with DeMarcus. You got to grow up, you know. You have tremendous talent, and you're basically a walking double-double right now, and that's without doing anything. That's just strictly on your talent, and, you know, I think him and Tyreke Evans are kind of the same way. Obviously, Tyreke Evans not a double-double guy, but he's an incredible talent as well, and I think the Kings have a strong future, but, you know, yeah, those guys are just, they look like two head cases, and I think their coach has lost the team, or an idiot, or one of the two, or both, or none, or whatever, but
yeah,
man, it was just ugly game to watch, and you just, I don't know, I watched that game, and I didn't feel any better that they won, and if they, much better than if they would have lost, because it was just, like, such an ugly win, just like, oh my God, did I just watch that, and of course, being on the East Coast, you know, it's a late game, and it's just like, oh God, all right, finally get to go to bed after watching this miserable game, but hey, they won, and, you know, for a team that's, I think, now 6 games under 500, you gotta win any game you can get, so.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, actually talked about it, actually, you did talk about it last week when we were kind of previewing the, you know, upcoming games. Wait, we didn't record that. Sorry, folks. Again, Coach Schmitz with the recording errors, but yeah, you know, Abe did talk to me about the fact that, in the last episode, me and Abe were talking about, you know, the Canes and the upcoming, you know, schedule for the Bucks, and he was talking about the Canes, and he said, you know, the team is filled with young talent, but I think he said, you know, it's filled with immature young talent, and, you know, something has to go. You know, maybe Paul Westphal has to go. You know, I don't think, you know, Tyreke or DeMarcus will go because they're, you know, both the faces of franchise, but, you know, somebody has to go with the Canes if they want to, you know, become the team that they were, you know, early in the 2000s. Right?
Yeah, and with those things, you never know. I think there actually was a report that Westphal had lost a locker room, and, you know, of course, the infamous sources said, you know, and you never know what that means. You don't know if that's some random guy, you know, just trying to make a name for himself and reporting what looks to be pretty obvious, and, you know, I don't know. I don't want to touch that topic because that's just, like, you know, kind of a pet peeve of mine, but, you know, whatever. I don't think the Kings are going anywhere fast unless some major things are done. And, you know, I think a couple of other people outside of the Bucks organization could probably say the same thing. But luckily we have guys, you know, like Bogut and Jennings who maybe aren't necessarily those, you know, off-the-court leaders like maybe a Kurt Thomas or Jerry Stackhouse was for this team last year. But, you know, Bogut and Jennings are certainly on the court leaders, and they certainly lead by example. So, you know, that's better than nothing at this point. You know, I think Jennings is pretty notorious for getting up in the face of people who mess with his teammates. And, you know, I think guys rally around that. You know, you want to know that your teammates have your back and all that kind of stuff. And that matters. And so hopefully they can just keep it up. And, you know, there's not any, you know, hopefully the mole Corey Maggette can't infect anybody else. And, I don't know, but judging, and we'll talk about this a little later, but McGinnity had a pretty decent game today, so hopefully, you know, he's not going to take his donkeyness and breed with any of the younger Bucks, and our season can be salvaged, but Only time will tell.
Yeah, and time is running out, and with the injury to Jennings, you know, people are losing hope. But again, like last year, you know, we had a stretch where I think we were like 8-20 or something like that. We, you know, had a second half stretch where we were just, you know, awesome, and I think that could happen again, you know, this year. We're only 6 games below 500, and, you know, in East,
we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, we are, I think we do have the AC right now, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, I mean, we might not after this loss, but either way, we're certainly within a game of it. So, and, I mean, obviously, I think Miami and Boston are certainly, I think, a couple steps ahead of us at this point, but I think we could play Orlando pretty tough now, because I'm not sold on their shakeup of a team is any better, and I think they're actually worse than they were. So I think we can take anybody down to the wire. I mean, we do play the Celtics well, but I think that their, you know, playoff experience would eventually put them over, and I don't know if we can hold up with the talent of the Heat, but... And, you get in the playoffs, and hopefully we can get to that 6th seed, and maybe we can make some noise.
Yeah, let's have my analyst talking about the next game on, I guess that was, this was yesterday, Monday, the 27th of the of December. We lost against the Hawks by a final score of 95-80, and, you know, this game was pretty much, you know, lost, you know, at the start. Really nobody was shooting, nothing really was, you know, going right for his team. You know, seriously. You know, Salmas, of course, you know, had another good game. Shooting. Dueling was nice, you know, Bogey was nice, but other than that, nobody, you know, really stepped up in this game.
Hey, yeah, I was pretty disappointed, to be honest. With not only the execution and the shots and all that kind of stuff. But also the effort. I just didn't think the effort was there. Certainly at the beginning. And I think the Hawks are pretty notorious around the league for being a bunch of talented head cases, basically, you know, with Josh Smith and all those kind of guys. You know, they get blown out by Orlando and all in the playoffs last year after beating us barely without Bogut. And you could just tell, I think they went into the half, they were up 12 or 14. No, they were up 15 even, maybe. Up somewhere there. And the Bucks went on a little run after halftime, you know, and got it into a game again and just couldn't get done. And then the Hawks anteed up their hustle, and the Bucks, I think, even turned it down a little bit of a notch. And, I mean, this is a team that's going to struggle offensively. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. You know, this team will not hit shots consistently, and so the defense has got to be there. And I don't know, more than a couple of occasions, just the defense was very lackadaisical, just giving up, you know, runouts to guys like Josh Smith and all those kinds of things. And Al Horford was just incredible, and just kind of insult the injury for Bucks fans, because obviously that lottery year when we probably should have had him and ended up with Yi Jian Liang and just all that goodness.
Yeah, most definitely. And I guess we could talk about tonight's game that just ended. Excuse me. Something in my throat. But we lost by the final score of 90-77, of course, on the road against the Chicago Bulls. A game that, you know, nobody really expected us to win. You know, we made it a game. You know, we were up, you know, a good portion of the game, you know, we were up at halftime. You know, we had a little lead in the third quarter, but they had a little run at the end of the third quarter and at the start of the fourth quarter, and they really didn't look back. Let's actually look at some stats from this loss against the Chicago Bulls. Actually, wait. Really, NBA.com? Really? You take me to the Atlanta Hawks stats? Are you kidding me? I'll be here with NBA.com. No, I do not want to use Expedia. Shut up, NBA.com. Stupid advertisements that pop up. Able to give your
AdBlock Plus.
What?
Got to download AdBlock Plus add-on for your browser.
We're not sponsored, though. Not yet, though. Just talk about it while I post up some stats, okay?
I don't know. Dakota said that no one really expected us to win, but I thought we'd win. At least I thought it would be a really close game because I thought we'd get up for this game, so to speak. And you know, the Bulls are. You know, they say we're in the same division and we would fight it out till the end for the division supremacy at the end of the year. But divisions in the NBA don't matter that much, and there's no real rivalry. I mean, obviously, you know, the Packers and the Bears and the Brewers and the Cubs are huge rivals, and the Bears and the Packers are playing this weekend, and those of you Packer fans probably know about the controversy. I mean, even last week when we were playing the Giants and blowing them out, you know, the Bears still suck with a chant, and one of the beat writers kind of thought it was classless or whatever, and so there's a lot of stuff between, you know, Milwaukee and Chicago and Wisconsin and Illinois and all that kind of stuff that you're kind of born with, but the Bucks and the Bulls are not rivals.
No.
By any stretch, really. I know that Jim Paschke and John McLaughlin kept saying that they were bitter rivals, but they're not. I mean, the Bulls and the Bucks, you know, are pretty good NBA franchises. I'd say top 12, you know, overall in both of their histories, but, you know, just coincidentally or not, have never been good at the same time. So games between them have really never mattered. The Bucks were very good in the early 70s. And then, you know, the only way you could say was maybe and this was even the Bucks, you know, in the 80s had their tremendous run with Don Nelson, and obviously the Bulls had Jordan, but the Bulls were never really title contenders then.
Jordan?
In the 80s.
Oh, okay.
In the 80s. And then, you know, obviously the Bucks in the 90s were pretty horrendous for the entire time, and the Bulls were incredible the entire time, and then Jordan retired, and that kind of, and then early this millennium, you know, we had the big three, Big Dog Robinson and Ray Allen and Sam Cassell, and the Bulls had, you know, the likes of Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry, and so that just kind of speaks for themselves. So they've been terrible. And then, you know, even earlier this decade, mid the decade, like 2005-ish, when they had their little run, was when they had, I think, two solid seasons. And we were
Wisconsin
in the lottery. So we've really never been good at the same time, and there's never been a rivalry. And, you know, hopefully the Bucks can kind of get back to their winning ways this year, and maybe in the next year, in the next couple of years, and the Bulls can keep it up, and maybe then we'll become rivals just naturally because of that already existing rivalry. But they're not rivals. Don't kid yourself. Don't try to convince yourself. The Bucks don't have any rivals. I can't even, you know, if I had to think of one, I don't even know if I could. I don't know if we've had a rival for the last 8 years. That's just really not how the NBA is, just because the divisions don't matter.
Other than Lakers and Celtics, which has been rivalry for like 40, 50 years.
And that's only because they win half the NBA championships, and they don't even play them that much. They don't even play them. The only really rivalry I can remember that just kind of brewed up and now is almost laughable was in the early of this decade when the Wizards and the Cavs were kind of rivals, and look at just how pathetic both of those teams are now. And that's obviously not a rivalry. So, I don't know. Whatever reason, maybe the NBA did that on purpose, but there's just not any rivals really in the NBA except what Dakota said with the Celtics-Lakers, and they only play each other twice a season unless they meet in the finals. So, I think that's what it's worth. That's what happens when you create a star-driven league. But anyway, we played pretty well. We played a solid 40 minutes with them. You know.
Yeah.
But Carlos Boozer couldn't miss. Kirk Thomas, who I really wish the Bucks would have kept this offseason because he's actually a legitimate center instead of John Brockman. And I don't even mind John Brockman that much. He's one of he's kind of like the Boykins, where he's just not that he's not physically talented at all. And you know, he's gonna hustle, and you know, maybe he can put a surcharge into the team on those back-to-backs or, you know, 3 out of 5s or those kind of games where it's just the energy level is hard to get out of yourself. But, I mean, geez. Derrick Rose didn't impress me that much. He made some threes, which is, I guess, nice to see if you're a Bulls fan, but I continue to think that he's overrated. And we just couldn't do it. Corey McGiddy actually played decent.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's getting some of his explosion back. I think that his rest because of his concussion might have helped a little bit. I still think he's injured. There's no way. Players don't lose it that much, especially swingmen. He's not that old, and he doesn't have that much mileage on him. Yeah. He's been hurt. You know, I think he misses about, 15 games a year?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's maybe got... He's in his 10th year, but that really means he's only had 8 years because he's missed enough. But anyway.
Yeah,
Bogut.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, Bogut, but... I guess, you know, people in Real GM call this a pube game or something like that. I don't know. It's just a game that it's, you get and forget. You know, he had, you know, 60 rebounds and 4 blocks, but he only had 4 points. And, you know, we needed him in this game to have a, you know, shot of winning. Again, like Abe said, we did do, we were in it, you know, most of the game. We were, you know, winning it for, I guess, a quarter of the game, but you need to score more than 4 points to have a chance, you know, to win this game. Bogut really should have had a great, you know, 20 and 15 night or something like that against this team without Joakim Noah. You know, Carlos Boozer is great. He's a great, you know, power forward. But, you know, he really can't match up, I think, with Bogut, of course. Kurt Thomas, we know about him. We know that he didn't, you know, match up pretty good against, you know, against Al Horford and the Landhawks last season. But there's a big difference between, there's a pretty nice difference between Al Horford and Andrew Bogut in terms of, you know, defensive and, you know, offensive skill. I think Horford's a little better offensively than Bogut, but Bogut is, I think, the best, you know, defensive center, you know, in the NBA right now. But, you know, Bogut really should have had a great game, you know, without having a Joakim Noah on him.
Well, another thing that is Noah, and not to take anything away from him, because he's a tremendous defensive player too, but Bogut usually owns him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think you're maybe underselling Bogut, and I know the whole pube thing on Real GM, and I think that's just an atrocity, especially with how good Bogut is now. To compare him to a prime Ben Wallace is a joke, I think. Well, I think he's a top 20 player in the NBA, and that's because of how tremendous he's on defense. And I think people undersell the value of rebounding and defense just because it's not really quantifiable. But if you want to look at it, Bogut spent most of his time on Kurt Thomas, and obviously Kurt Thomas is by no stretch of the imagination any kind of offensive stalwart, but Bogut still held him pretty well, and yeah, Bogut only had 4 points, but Bogut also didn't get the ball that much. And you could say, oh, well, he wasn't open that much, but he also didn't get the ball that much. I mean, how many times did you see Bogut strictly get isolated and, you know, given time and time to
Have 12 shots.
Yeah, he had 12 shots, but a lot of those were putbacks, I would say.
Yeah.
A lot of those were putbacks or tips, you know, things like that, which sometimes they count as shot attempts and sometimes they don't. So that's just a thing. You know, what I call it a pube game, I don't think you can call it a pube game when he's a 4-18 and 3 game. You know, okay, yeah, so what? He didn't have a lot of points. And, you know, 4 points on 12 shots is bad efficiency. And he missed those 2 free throws that I remember. But it wasn't a bad game. It wasn't a great game. But it wasn't. He's not a superstar. He's not a star. He's an all-star. He's a top 20 player in the NBA, and by top 20, that probably means he's 19 or 20. So, you know, he's the best guy we got, and I think the Bucks have much, much, much bigger problems than Andrew Bogut. You have to realize also that he's hurt. He's got 3 different injuries, and I don't think any of them have healed. And not only is he hurt 3 different ways, he's, you can say out of shape, but I would say that he's just not in playing shape because he's been hurt.
I think he's just, you know, getting back to what he was. Of course, you know, this game, some stretching a little bit here, but in this game he of course didn't look that good. But on, you know, the previous games, he, I think he is 90% of what he was, you know, last year when he, when of course the Bucks had that big run, you know, in March. Bless you, Abe. I think he's 85-90% of what he was last year. Of course, when the Bucks made that big run February and March, but I don't think he's there yet. I mean, Bogut at this point, I think, like Abe said, is a top scoring player. I think he's an all star. Of course, the fans are not gonna think that. The fans probably think that Brandon, you know, Hayward. Of course, I had to mess up that name again. Abe absolutely hates when I mess up, you know, Brandon's name, but whatever. I think NBA fans, you know, think that Brandon is better than, you know, than Bogut, and fans probably think that, you know, Andre Varnani is better than...
Points per game for the win.
What?
Points per game for the win.
Yes, points per game for the win. Yeah.
Score more team. You gotta score more points than the other team to win, Dakota. Don't you forget that.
You also have to play defense, don't you?
No. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about the defense. Just
give up 20, score 25.
I think it's more like, you know, give up 130 and score 132.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what Raptors fans really think about. It's Vassal, I guess, but you know that. But Bogut's a versatile player, of course. You know, a great player in defense and a good player, you know, offensively. And you know, he's gonna go back to what he was last year. I know he said he's not gonna be 100% of what he was last year, but I think he can reach that point that we saw. In February, March, I'm being optimistic. There were times on Twitter where I basically just gave up. But I think I'm a bipolar person when it comes to sports. I don't think I am. I'm the kind of person, you know, that when the team is doing good, I'm like, yeah. When the team is doing good, bad, I'm like, do I really need to watch this game again? I really need to watch this game again. He's not going to do anything. But does that make me less of a fan, Abe?
No, I think it also. I think it's a lot to do with your personality, okay. Potentially. I mean, I don't know you all that well, but I don't know. I just don't really. I never really quit. And I think, you know, even if they're down 30 with 10 minutes to go, I still think they can win. And I don't ever want to turn it off because part of me thinks that the one time I turned it off is the one time that. You know,
that happens.
And then I'm going to feel like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think a lot of... You also have to remember, too, that even at this time last year, Bogut and Skiles, Bogut's playing much better than he played at this time last year.
Oh, yeah.
That game in Charlotte that I actually went to, that Bogut sat the entire second half, and that couldn't have been too deep into the new year if it was even still in the new year. So, you know, there were some feuds, and this team was not playing well last year either, and we still ended up winning 46 games, and I think this team now has more talent than they did last year, and I don't think that they're any more cohesive than they were at this time last year, so hopefully that'll just come, and I think that the worries of the team quitting on Skiles in his third year, and I think you can stop worrying about that, because I think they haven't quit.
And the thing is, though, that, you know, most of these players are in their first and second year with Skiles. They are.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only players that are in their, you know, really their third year are Luka Chirmamute and Bogut. You know, because, you know, players like Ersan, you know, Jennings are in their second year. You know, of course, Doolin, Gooden, McGaddy, CBR, Sanders, they're all in their first year. And you know that third year thing really, you know, doesn't work. I think, you know, that players like, you know, Bogut and Luka Chirmamute both, you know, of course, I think they both love, you know, scouts, because they're both scouts kind of players, you know, defense first, offense second. I guess with Luke Richard Mamute, I think it's defense first, missing shots second, but I'm not going to go there right now. But, you know, those third-year players are really, you know, Skiles kind of players, and I really don't think that the first-year players are really going to give up on him quite yet, because it's only, you know, at the end of December, I guess, you know, January is going to come up, you know, in a few days, but it's still relatively early in the season.
We'll be okay. We're still in the playoffs at this point, and if we're not, then we're not far out at all. So, hey, we're in the East. A lot of ball game left.
Yeah,
a lot of season left.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think it's about time to wrap up this edition of the Bucks Cavs, of course. You know everything. Twitter, Dakota_Schmidt. Email BucksCast@gmail.com. iTunes, if you're listening to the show on iTunes, make sure to rate the show as many stars as you think the show should be rated. I know on some shows I listen to, they're like, ooh, rate the show 5 stars because we're so awesome. But if you think we suck, tell us we suck. Because I think we kind of suck. Comment on how we suck. Please. Abe, do you have anything to plug?
My Twitter, GBMB34, and Packers are playing a big game this Sunday against the Bears, and the Badgers are playing a big game this Saturday against the TCU Horned Frogs, so hopefully our football teams can go on and have a big win, and the Badgers can end their season on a high note, and the Packers can end their first season and begin their second season.
Yeah, most definitely, and I think we can make an announcement. I think we have an announcement to make, don't we, Abe?
What's that?
I have a question for everybody that's listening. Do you guys like baseball?
I do.
Do you guys like the Brewers?
I like the Brewers too.
Do you want a podcast that's all about the Milwaukee Brewers? Do you want interviews with personalities? Brewers personalities and much, much more?
I would like that a lot.
Okay, then fine. Starting tomorrow, Wednesday, December 29th, Brewers Fever's gonna launch! Abe, say something.
I got Brewers Fever.
You do? Yes. I guess we can announce that everybody on episode number 1 of the Brewers Fever podcast, we're going to have on such guests as the batting stance guy. Because that guy knows a lot about batting stances in baseball because he's so awesome. We're going to have, you know, what's the guy's name from Bernie Screw? Steve something. I don't know how to say his last name. What's his last name?
Jasinski.
See, you know, Abraham Jasinski, Steve Gashinsky, they know all about the weird last names, everybody. And finally, we're going to have the founder of MLB Trade, Rumors.com, of course, my favorite site, you know, dedicated to the MLB, you know, off-season. I basically check that every single hour. I stopped checking that site because I do have the official MLB Trade Rumors app. Well, that site is just awesome. We're going to have the founder, creator, writer on that site on episode number 1 of the Brewers Fever podcast. Of course, we're going to talk about Zach Greinke trade, the Sean Markham trade, you know, free agency signings, you know, all that great stuff that's dedicated to the greatest baseball team in the Midwest. I guess it's time to wrap up episode number 14 of the Buckscast. Of course, my name is Chris Schmidt. That's Abraham Jasinski. Everybody was signing out. Go Bucks, go! Work hard, play hard. Not quite fair to do yet, folks, but we'll get there one day. So everybody, we'll see you next week.